Okay. Yeah, we need to keep Georgia in our prayers. So we had a men's meeting after church. Somebody asked me, said, "You're not going to resign, are you?" No. Yeah. Neil's like, "Oh, man." But I am going to take some vacation time. I've got 2 weeks left over from last year and 2 weeks this year, so I'm taking 1 month of vacation. I'm not going anywhere.
We'll know where to find you.
I'll be right over there on Lakeview Drive, but...
And we got your phone number, too.
Got my phone number. That doesn't mean I have to answer it, but I can't stand it. I always answer it. I know that there's plans being made for the Thanksgiving baskets, and I'll be here and be a part of all that, so I'm looking forward to that. Are y'all?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. In our last lesson on prayer, 2 weeks ago now, we spent some time on the principles of prayer and addressed the fact that, of course, we must pray in faith, believing with all our hearts that God is and that He is rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's what I preached on this morning, in fact. But we secondly also have to pray in harmony with God's will, which sometimes is really difficult for us to understand from our limited vantage point. And then, of course, thirdly, we must pray in the name of Jesus. And really, I want to say we are privileged to pray in the name of Jesus, who humbled Himself as a man with the everlasting goal to bring us back to God with Him. But there's another principle of prayer that we need to understand, and that is we must pray with persistence. And this is another important principle that Jesus, of course, addressed. You might turn to Luke 11. There Jesus taught this principle in the parable of the persistent friend. In Luke 11:1, one of His disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray, not as the rabbis prayed in the synagogue, but that teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." Luke 11, verse 1. And then, of course, Jesus shares with them a model prayer, not to be memorized and shared back like the rabbis did those prayers, but rather as a guide for us as we pray. Verse 2, Luke 11:2. "So He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" And then Jesus shares an illustration of this principle, and it's an illustration that's easily understood, beginning at verse 5. "And He said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he'll answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are in bed, are with me in bed. I cannot rise and go to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs.'" If you raised a kid, you know how this works, right? But not just children, adults, we do the same thing. We understand the principle. When we continually have others asking us to meet a genuine need in their life, man, we just respond to those needs. We are moved to help them. Now, watch the true application of this principle as Jesus continues. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. You see the progression there? And don't forget that all of this was shared by Jesus, again, in the context of teaching them how to pray. God wants you and me to ask Him. Because God wants us to depend on Him. God doesn't want you to ever forget that He supplies all your needs, and so ask. And then seek. And then knock. Be more persistent. But the spirit there of our hearts is, God, I'm depending on you. I have nowhere else to turn. That's the spirit of this asking, seeking, and knocking. Don't ever stop leaning on God. He's teaching them how to pray. Jesus also shared the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18. Jesus taught this parable to remind them and us to be persistent in prayer, and maybe even more importantly, the words, never lose heart. Never lose heart. But the parable illustrates the value of persistent request are persistently leaning on God for your needs. Verse 2, Luke 18, 2. There was in a certain city a judge, now pay attention to this, who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now let me put this in Oklahoman. She's about to wear me out. I was preaching at Southwest one time, and down in the section to my left down here, the whole section just cracked up. And I just ignored them and just looked over here, you know. But here they came as soon as the sermon was over, and one of our members, her little boy, was sitting there quietly beside her, and, you know, she always had a coloring book or something, and I was just preaching away, and he looked up at his mom and he said, that man's about to drive me crazy. And everybody heard him. You could even hear it on the recording. It was great. And that's kind of how this judge was feeling. She's about to drive me crazy. And so in this parable, Jesus is pointing to a ruler who had no goodness in him. He was not a godly man. He wasn't a good man. He was just a judge. What an incredible, vivid contrast to the one to whom we pray. To our merciful, loving, compassionate, grace-filled God. Now watch the application, verse 6. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And it's a simple principle, is it not? If an unjust judge offers justice to this widow, who, by the way, was at the bottom of the food chain in the first century, what do you think your Heavenly Father's going to do for you? He will avenge his own elect who cry out night and day to him. And you look at the Old Testament and that was the case. And he will avenge them speedily. And so now we see the parable. So the question now becomes to those to whom Jesus was talking and all the way to today, do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Do you really trust that God will care for you and provide for you and protect you and bless you? Not in the way you define those blessings, but in the way he defines them. Notice, we're back to that very first principle of prayer from our lesson, actually 2 weeks ago, Luke 18:8, the last part. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Is he going to find people that absolutely trust in him, no matter what? No matter how big the storm you're passing through. We all know what Oklahoma thunderstorms are like. Especially those supercells. You know, we got all kinds of words now, don't we? And so sometimes that's the way life becomes. It's just a supercell is parked on top of you. And can you trust God to see you through? That's what Jesus is asking. Will he take care of you? Our persistence in prayer, or lack of it, will be determined by our trust and faith in God, or lack of it. In fact, what speaks louder about your faith than your persistence in prayer? God, get me through today. I don't understand how you're going to do it. I surrender all. That's a great song, Holy Ghost. I surrender all. Have you ever done that? Of course you have. But you don't just do it once. You kindly do it over and over. God, I tried to fix it. I forgot. I surrender to you. You take care of it. The Apostle Paul continually taught this principle in Romans 12. He shares this laundry list of exhortations, but beginning in verse 9, he reminds them to be loving and diligent and fervent and serving and rejoicing in hope. Every preacher loves Paul for this passage. Compassionate for the poor, and to even bless those who persecute you. But in verse 12, he writes this, patient in tribulation. Now, patience wasn't a word that's used the way we use it today. Patient meant enduring, endurance, keeping on, keeping on. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And it's not a coincidence that those phrases were next to each other in our greatest tribulations and trials. Anybody had any of those lately? Oh yeah. You say, well, everything's been going smooth. Well, hang on. I think I hear the thunder. And so, in our greatest tribulations and trials, what are the keys to having endurance or patience. It's continuing steadfastly with persistence in prayer. That's the key. Because that's when you're really surrendering all. That's when you're totally depending on God. God, here I am. I'm the clay, you're the potter. Mold me. In Ephesians chapter 6, every young child loves this class. I think Linda was telling me about they did this and they made all the different pieces of the armor out of cardboard, you know, or paste. It's great. And of course, in Ephesians 6, 10, and 11, Paul challenged us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. And here's why. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so what kind of battle is this going to be? How intense is this battle going to be? Is it really that big a deal for a Christian? Well, look at verse 12. It's a big deal. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Those words, principalities and powers, were used in the first century. Those Greek words were used to describe Satan and his forces. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts, there are a lot of them, hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So these are spiritual beings. Is it possible that we sometimes forget that there's this intense spiritual battle raging around us every minute of every day? I wonder what would happen if we were given like an hour where we could see all of these spiritual beings, angels, and all the ways God's using them to serve us, and then all of those evil forces. What impact would that have on our prayer lives? It'd be a lot. It'd be a whole lot. And then Paul writes, verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Not that you might be able to withstand, but that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The word pictures of a Roman soldier who took his stand, and as long as he never backed up an inch, he stood his ground, they were going to win that battle. And so gird your waist with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and take the shield of faith and slip on the helmet of salvation and pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and then do what?
Pray.
Never stop praying. Never stop depending on God. This is the verse, Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so, mark this down. Until we're persistent in prayer, we don't stand a chance in this battle against Satan. Paul said that the armor of God is vital in standing against the wiles of Satan. The word wiles means tactics and devices and tricks and deceptions. And in Satan's toolbox is a collection of those wiles, those devices that are tested and proven. And you can almost hear Satan's wicked laughter as men and women try to resist him with their own strength. I'll just pull myself up with my own bootstraps. I'll fight my way through this. Can't you just hear Satan laughing? They love the world and they don't even realize it. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life control them. Dominate their minds and harden their hearts like a callus. But a prayer warrior wearing the armor of God, persistent in asking for God's help, seeking God's strength, and knocking to God, gain God's wisdom, that Christian leaves Satan in full retreat. Now, do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Do you believe that with all your heart, with God's help, you can successfully stand against the wiles of Satan? This is what James said, James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. I surrender all. That's what he's talking about. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. The surrendering to God has to be the step one, by the way. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Listen to me. If you haven't made prayer a part of your daily life, then you need to repent of that, right? Yeah. Right now, just repent of that. And tonight, beginning right now, become a prayer warrior. And be persistent in prayer. Years ago, my dad became a Christian. He was a good man before he became a Christian, but he was rough, and he'd say things that to men he wouldn't say in front of women. And he became a Christian, and all that changed. And he told me one day, he said, we was talking about prayer, and he said, you know, I get up every morning, get ready for work, and I drive to work. And I pray all the way to work. Pray all the way home. And then some during the day. He understood it. Be persistent in prayer. Begin every day by asking God to empower you, to give you wisdom, to give you strength, to help you become like Jesus. And you know what he'll do? He'll answer that prayer. Tonight, if you need to come for any reason, please come now while we stand and sing.